in the lowlands at the base of the mountain. In chapter 19, we see the beginning of the covenant narrative between God and His people. And then we come into chapter 20 and we see God speak directly about the Ten Commandments, the core of the laws that would allow fellowship between Him and His people. In chapter 21 through 23, God lays out the practical application of those laws. The daily life application, the justice applications, the worship of a holy God applications, and how to act responsibly within this new society that they now have. And throughout that entire time, Moses is tending to the people. Moses is doing the work that God had instructed him to do. Moses is being faithful in the work that God had given him. Have a look with me at chapter 24, verse 1 there. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. Verse 3, and Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, all the judgments. All the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And we could keep going all the way down to verse 11, but we see here Moses doing the work that God had instructed him. He's doing the work to teach the people what God wanted them to learn. He's doing the work to provide instruction, to provide leadership, to provide guidance for God's people. Here's the first thought I want you to see, and it fits within the come up part of that verse we started with. It's from the lowlands. It's from the valleys. It's from the deserts. It's from the places that work is being done for God that God calls the faithful. It's from those places that God calls the faithful out. Notice where Moses was and what he was doing. He was doing what God had instructed him to do. Moses was with the people in the wilderness, responding to God's direction, doing the work that God had instructed. Notice what he's not doing. He's not looking for the next mountaintop experience. Moses has already been on the mountain with God. He's had that time of fellowship. He's had that time of closeness with God. But Moses isn't there dreaming about looking to that. His head is in the space that it should be in. That's doing the work of God. It's from those places. It's from the valley floor. It's from the desert places. It's from your workspace. It's from your home when you are doing what God expects you to do every single day that God calls out the faithful. It's like a day at Movie World. We often want the next ride, the spiritual high, but the place that God most often calls us from is the place where and when we're doing what God told us to do. When we're doing what He's already asked us to do, that's when God calls us out. Look at the next thought here. He says, be there. Often it's on the mountain that we get encouragement. Often it's on the mountain, it's in those high places that we get strengthening. Often it's the place where we get conviction, maybe some direction. But God's intention for you is to return to the valley. God's intention for you is to go back to the desert. God's intention for you is to go back into your home, into your workspace, not to stay up on the mountain. While Moses is on the mountain for 40 days and for 40 nights, God lays out to Moses how he desires to have fellowship with his people. He desires to dwell amongst his people. He puts in place instructions for offerings from the people. He puts in place, or he outlines the process of anointing priests so that there can be that intermediary. He describes in detail how the tabernacle is to be built so that he, the holy God, the creator of everything, can dwell with his people. Have a look at Exodus 25, verse 8. Some beautiful verses here. Exodus 25, verse 8, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." That's the God of heaven speaking to Moses about the fellowship that he wants to have with his people. Jump over to 29, verse 43. Exodus 29, verse 43. He says, "And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory, and I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to be ministered to me in the priest's office." Verse 45, "And I will dwell among the children of Israel and be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord, their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am their God." What a beautiful moment. What a moment for Moses, as we're about 3 months out of coming out of Egypt, and Moses has led this group of people. And what a beautiful moment as God says, "I want to be close to these people. I value these people." Can you imagine for Moses over these 40 days, as God is laying all this out, as God is describing his desire for that closeness, and Moses is there fellowshipping with God? Can you imagine that? We can't imagine that. We can only see what's written in Scripture between chapters 25 through to 31 there, and we get a picture of the laws and the standards and the things that God puts in place. But what we don't see in that time is that closeness, the fellowship that God had with Moses up there on the mountain. And maybe conference was a little bit like that for you. And it should be. God often uses conferences. He often uses missions trips. He often uses events in our lives like mountaintop experiences to draw us close to himself. He often uses those moments to show us his heart, his passion. He often uses those moments to point out where there's something within our lives that are creating contention between him and us, that are breaking that fellowship between him and us. And he uses those moments to teach us and to show us how we should walk forward. We should take joy in those moments. But we have to keep in mind that the lessons from that moment are lessons that, yes, we need to apply, but they're lessons that we apply in the valley, not on the mountain. Here's the thought for tonight. Teach them. The work that God requires of the faithful, of us as believers, and Pastor talked about this morning. I thought he was going to hijack my whole sermon, but the work that God requires of the faithful, of us as believers, is in the valley. It's in the desert. It's not on the mountain. The work that God requires of us is in our workspaces. It's in our homes. Those moments on the mountain are precious, and they're important. But we can't lose sight of the truth that God's intention for you is to return to the work that He set for you. Look back at Exodus 24, verse 12. Exodus 24, verse 12. The Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mountain and be there. And hey, that's important. We have to be present with the Lord to learn the lessons, don't we? We need to be in tune with the heart of God to understand what it is that He's teaching us. And the Lord said to Moses, come up to me in the mountain and be there, and I will give thee tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. Think about those last few words there, that thou mayest teach them. Yes, the instructions that Moses received in the mountain applied to him, right? The instruction that God was giving to Moses on the mountain for those 40 days applied to Moses, but more so they applied to the people that he was called to lead, the people that are still in the valley. Hopefully you walked away from conference with a notebook full of notes. Notes that you can look back on for encouragement. Notes that you can look back on to remind you of commitments that you made during conference. And maybe you can look back on and be reminded of convictions and things that God put on your heart that you need to deal with. But those notes are also there so that you can teach in the places that God has given you to be faithful and fruitful. The lessons that we learned in conference aren't just for us. And while we need to meditate on them and maybe we need to turn them over and maybe it takes a little bit of time for us to process, the lessons that were taught to us individually in conference aren't just for us, they're for us to teach. So when other people look at our lives and the way that we live, the way that we speak, they can see those lessons playing out. For all of us in our homes, mums and dads, talk openly in front of your kids about what you learned. Whether that's at conference or whether that's just on Sunday, you get in the car, make that your conversation piece. So that your kids start to see that growth and that maturing in your life. So they start to understand, to ask those same questions, and how do I play this out in my own mind? It opens the door for them to then speak into that conversation within the context of the family. Apply those lessons in your workspaces, in your social spaces, in your sports and recreation places, in the shopping center. How much time do we spend at Chermside? Not much for me. I can't stand that place. Hey, on social media. Wouldn't it be great if we could reclaim some ground in social media? Wouldn't it be great if instead of promoting our own vanity, we could promote the greatness of God? Social media is one of the greatest communication platforms that we have in our modern era. But how much of it is used to promote ourselves and how much of it is used to promote God? We can reclaim that space. We can get hold of that space by talking about the lessons that God showed us in times like conference, in those mountaintop experiences, in those mission trips that we were on when we felt so clearly that God was convicting us and guiding us and giving us direction. So often as we step away from those moments, those memories begin to diminish and we don't talk about them anymore. Friends, if God used this conference in your life, understand that it wasn't just for you. This conference wasn't just for you. The lessons that you learned weren't just for you. God intended that you would come down off the mountain And as God instructs Moses, teach it. Teach what God taught you. Encourage with what God encouraged you. Lead with what God directed you. Now, I know we're all processing a lot and we're a little tired, but can we do that, church? Can we do that? Can we take those lessons and apply them to the spaces that we live in, that we work in? Can we do that, church? But I want you to understand one more thing this evening, and some of you have already faced this. Look with me at chapter 32. Chapter 32, and Moses is still up on the mountain. Chapter 32, verse 1, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go forth before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Israel, we wot not what's become of him. We have no idea what happened to that guy. And here's the thing, as you come down off the mountain and as you prepare to teach it, Satan doesn't want you to go back into the valley and teach those lessons. Satan wants you to slip back into complacency. He wants you to fall into discouragement. He wants you to fall back into that old rut that you were in before. He does not want you to teach the lessons that you learned in conference, that you learned on the high point. Often it's directly after the mountain that we face attack. And often it's against the very thing that God challenged us on. The thing that God taught us, the thing that God convicted us of while we were on the mountain. While Moses is on the mountain and God is relaying his plan for fellowship with his people, the people turned their backs on God. And while Moses is rejoicing in the message of hope, of fellowship that God had for his people, Satan is working to attack the very same people that God wants to have fellowship with. And that's the place that Moses has to go back into in the valley. Maybe for some of you, you faced that same thing as you left conference. You faced attack. You face the desire to slip back into whatever it was before. And Satan pushed the very same buttons that he's been pushing for years. And he convinces you that it's okay. You've had this spiritual moment. It's okay to just do this again. You know, on Wednesday night before I even left this property, while the excitement of conference was still fresh in my mind, while we were celebrating that victory, Satan attacked. And within hours of the conference finishing, the selfishness of my own ugly heart reared up. And I'll be honest with you, all I wanted to do was run away. But I had to get on my face before God. I had to realign my heart with God's heart. And I had to realize that there's still work that needs to be done in the valley. And God's given me a job to do in the valley. And that's no different for you. God's given you a job to do in the valley. Look at chapter 32, verse 7 with me, and we're nearly done. Chapter 32, verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped and have sacrificed there 2 and said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee out of the land of Israel." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make thee a great nation." Maybe for you it was your family. Maybe for you it was as you stepped back into work. Maybe it was your own heart like mine. We had victory during conference. We had some great moments during conference. And Satan's going to attack. If he hasn't attacked you yet, he will. That's coming. But I want you to see Moses' response here. Verse 32, verse 11. "And Moses besought the Lord his God." Is that where we turn to when Satan attacks? Moses besought the Lord his God. Moses intercedes on behalf of the people. You know, we have a Savior that intercedes on our behalf. As a sinner who has a horrible heart, who is wicked to my very core, I have a Savior who intercedes on my behalf. Moment by moment, day by day. But you know, I need to intercede on others' behalves too. I need to be praying for you. I need you to be praying for me. We have to be interceding on behalf of each other because you don't know what's happening in the life of another. Look down at what he does next in verse 15. All of this is happening in the background. Moses knows what's happening in the valley. He knows that the God is angry. Verse 15, "And Moses turned, and he went down from the mount. And the two tablets of testimony were in his hands, and the tables were written on both sides, on the one side and on the other they were written," verse 16, "and the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables." Can I close with this tonight? There's some writing on your heart. There's some writing on your heart from conference. There's some instruction on your heart from conference. And it's the Word of God. And it's the writing of God. And while that lesson, that encouragement, that instruction that you received in conference may have been very personal, it's not just for you. There are others that need it. The mountain was good. The fellowship was good. And we received from God. But now it's time to take what we got on the mountain and go back to the valley. And as Moses said in chapter 24, verse 12, "Come up, be there, that thou mayest teach them." Here's the challenge. Take what you learned. Apply it to your life. And then teach it. Take what you learned, apply it to your life, and then teach it. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we don't deserve moments and times like conference. We don't deserve the love that you continue to pour out on us. We don't deserve the maturing and the molding that you do within us. But Father, you continue to do that for us. You continue to draw us to yourself and to mold us and to shape us into people that can better glorify you, that can be more like your Son, Jesus. So, Father, I pray that as we walk away from conference, as we step away from those mountaintop experiences, that we wouldn't just look at it as a spiritual sugar rush, but that, Father, we would apply those lessons and then we would look for opportunity to teach those lessons. Father, I pray that you'd continue to work in us as a church to strengthen us, to unify this body of believers. Father, we love you. We're grateful that you are using this church. Father, in your name, amen.